All right, here we are again, you traitors. We're back with another weekly dose from the from nonsense land on this bullshit platform. I hope everyone's in good health. This will be released on Saturday, the 1st of July. We're in July already. Chris's birthday month. The format is simple. We'll release a minimum of four shows a month, unless we get attacked by Mariana. Shows will be released every Saturday. Members get the full podcast plus downloads. Non-members get part one. Podcasts are available on sheepfound.co.uk, sheepfound.co.uk. All new shows will also be released on Podomatic. We'll release part one on Podomatic, which is generally the first hour or the first part. Podomatic send them out to Spotify or distribute them to Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, Apple, and a few others. Please sign up as subscribers to the website. It's free. You're not asked to join as a member. But if you sign as a subscriber, you'll get the weekly email to remind you we've released something, because YouTube could turn us off any second. We haven't got any strikes at the moment, but I know they've been turning people off with no strikes. So that's just if we disappear from YouTube and you're relying on YouTube, that's probably the wrong way to go. With me tonight, as usual, is our binocular nostrils, Christian. You're looking quite look. We're looking quite tanned at the minute, aren't we? We've got a full cocoa
Are
pot.
you going to say you're looking tanned, right? And then
Well,
you
I am. I
realise that
know.
I'm
To
more
be
tanned
fair,
than you. Well, I were when I came and saw you, but I've been to Devon since then, and it was toasting down there.
It's warm, isn't it? Well, it has
Absolutely
been. It's not up here.
toast.
It's been pissing down.
I've never been to Devon before. It was absolutely stunning.
Right. We'd like to thank everybody from last Monday, which was the 19th at New Horizons in St Anne's. That was quite an interesting night, wasn't it, Chris?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was
Meeting
really good.
people there.
I hope we spoke to everyone who came.
It was difficult because there were more people there than I thought would be there, to be fair. But yeah, we did the part of the Huxley one, which is about Orwell. Did it? They played it over on the big screen, so quite interesting to watch back. I've never really watched everything back before.
Was a shame you didn't get to do the Q&A at the end. We ran out of
Yeah,
time. We
we ran out of
covered a
time.
little
Yeah.
bit too much.
I don't know if you've seen them, Chris, but I've been putting together some montages. I've called them Don't Believe the Matrix videos.
I've seen them. I haven't watched any of them yet.
Yeah, well, there's about five or six, I think, I've done the 30 minutes long. They're a playoff from some of the stuff. You know, when we do a live show and I put that 30 minutes countdown on before. But yeah, some of them we have used in that, but there's about six of them in total that I've done so far. And I'll just keep doing them. As I get videos, I'll just keep doing. But the process is quite long because you've got to put them on YouTube on their own to see if there's no copyright and they don't get strikes. Then you can put them into that, so it's not just a matter of putting them all together and hoping that they're all right. I don't want them struck off. That's the issue. But I mean, we are shadow banned on there. There's no doubt about it. I think a lot of people are now. Right, let's get straight into it. It's been LGBTQCIA week. Last week, I think it was CIA month, and it was LGBTQ CIA week at my Jungen school. What at your Jungen school?
I don't know. I didn't hear anything about it.
No unicorns or
Well,
rainbows.
you don't need to do it at kids' school because the unicorns and rainbows are everywhere, aren't
No trannies playing keyboards with the knackers.
I hope not. No one told me if they were. But I suppose that's the way that goes, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, again, I keep saying 0. Is it 1/6 people percent of the population? And I don't understand what the big clamour is, because I was talking to a chap the other day who's not into anything like we are, but I did talk about our stuff, and his son goes to my Jungen school, and they were doing some football training, and it was all over what I was telling him. Oh yeah, I didn't get tapped and blah blah. And
Oh, really?
we weren't even into it. Yeah, it was nonsense. I learned my missus were pregnant with my young'un, and she got a flu jab, and she it's the only time I've ever known her with flu, and we've been married 20 years. Yeah, blah blah blah. He said so that turned me off straight away because I realised that. So she had flu when she was pregnant and blah. Anyway, he wasn't disagreeing with anything
It's funny
that
actually,
I
when
was
we were
saying.
in Devon, we got
Shocked. It was
talking.
quite shocked, like, but well,
Shocked by what?
it's just shocked. It was shocked when you could see the recognition in his eyes about stuff. We got talking about. I got because it's hard to fill half an hour. We're talking to him for about 20 minutes, but it's like
Oh, fucker.
Yeah, no, poor fucker. But you know, I was flitting from, say, Jim Morrison to other stuff. You know what I mean?
He was slowly walking, backwards towards his car. I'm flitting in 20 minutes. I'm flitting between Jim Morrison and Bank of England. Fucking hell.
While he was trying to moonwalk. I said to him, I didn't know you could moonwalk.
I'm flitting from Jim Morrison. Oh, God. You see, this is where we differ, right? Because I bumped into someone on the beach in Devon. They had kids, so kids were playing, and we got chatting to them. And I didn't ask him about it, but I was tempted because he seemed like those kind of folk. Because
well, you missed out, Chris.
I'm not as preachy as you. They were talking
I wasn't preaching.
Right, just went from Bank of England to Jim Morrison in less than 20 minutes. and that's forgetting everything in between Jim Morrison and Bank of England.
Oh yeah, there were more
in 20 minutes. Poor fucker. Yeah. Oh dear. But they were on about homeschooling, and I'm thinking the only people who mention homeschooling is Fruit Loops like us.
Yeah.
So I probably missed a trick there, actually. I should have brought it up, but I just couldn't fucking bothered. I were on holiday.
Yeah. What bottle of witch piss are you opening tonight? I thought you'd have had enough while you were away.
There's never enough fire. I've been working since 7 this morning.
Excuse one. Yeah, go on.
Excuse one.
What time is it? Say after 8? Yeah, go on.
After 8, just got
nipper to bed.
Got a bottle of wine. Actually, this is actually open because I think I had some of it last night.
Because you had some of it last night, you finished the full bottle off, and
I don't even know what it is. It's some kind of French
witch piss.
La Ville Firme. It's got a chicken on front.
La Wichio Pissio.
Also, Lorraine gave us those. I got a bollocking actually because I should have. Sicily said I should have, my nipper said I should have took the other one. Because she's got that little dolly with a sheep's head in it. And Lorraine gave me like a female sheep. And I said it's Baba's, because a little dolly's called Baba. 5 years before we came up with even sheep farm, she's got a little dolly called Baba.
Probably around the same time I was thinking about it then.
Weird, don't it? It only just dawned on me a while ago that her little blanket she goes to bed with has got a sheep's head on and it's called Baba. How mad is that? I think I mentioned it before. But anyway, Lorraine gave me a female sheep and I said it's Barbara's mum. It's called Barbara.
Barry.
And you've got Barry. The male one. That's exactly what I said. You've got Barry, Barry.
It's a good job she didn't get one of those rainbow ones.
Yeah. Yeah. So thanks for that, Lorraine. She's got Barbara's mum.
Yeah. This week, I saw stories saying a pupil in Scotland had gone to school identifying as a fox.
Right.
My first thought was, I hope nobody's identifying in that classroom as a rabbit.
Or a chicken.
Yeah, a chicken. Because they fucked up. But, I mean, where does this... I'm sure some of these pupils are taking the piss as well.
I'm going to say on the back of that.
Because I would have done that.
I would have done that, yeah. And I'd have bled it for all I could.
Yeah, I'd have bled it for all I could.
I would have probably got diagnosed with some kind of...
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. That's the whole point.
No, I'm saying in them
days...
If
you question that fox, then you're nuts.
No, what I'm saying is, if we were around nowadays as kids, I would have definitely got one of them labels and I'd have been drugged off my tits. Or if I didn't, I would have bagged one and pretended I had it.
I'd have definitely pretended I had something. Yeah. And my mates would have been a rabbit and I'd been chasing them around... classroom. What would teachers have been able to do? And that was the story, that teachers don't know how to manage this. So now...
Well, I know what would have happened in the 80s. You'd have got a crack around head.
Yeah, one of them giant rulers that you used to have. But this is, again, this is the tale of insanity, isn't it? This is how they're destroying the fabric of how we've lived for the last whatever hundreds of years.
Yeah.
In the 80s, if you'd have gone in and said, I'm a fox, they'd have got you some psychiatric help. Yeah. Now it's fine.
I'll beat you
and
out,
to question that person, you need psychiatric help and you're far right.
Yeah.
That's where we've got to. We've got to from questioning somebody, all right, somebody might be having a joke, but somebody who's obviously got some kind of mental delusion that they're an animal.
Or they've just been programmed for.
Oh, they've just been programmed. Either way, it's delusional.
Yeah. I was going to say, actually, when we went to St. Anne's, I've never seen such an obvious gathering of right-wing extremists.
Yeah, no, there were petrol bombs hanging out the pockets. Just,
Never seen so many swastikas and natural regalia.
I know. That's one thing. I said that to you last time when I saw Mark there, Mark Devlin, that there's such a cross example of people going to these things. That is who we all are. And if you think about, I made a joke about that Mariana Spring were in car park with the film crew, so watch out when you go, when you leave. But Mariana Spring is picking on a minority of people. Isn't it strange how that's all right?
Yeah, she's trolling people.
And if you think about from... Yeah, she is. She's trolling people. If you think about what a predator does, a predator singles its prey out, injures it over time.
Takes the weak... The one who's... You could replace weakness for going through certain troubles or something.
Or numbers. Or, numbers of people on your own.
Pick them off one at a time. Yeah.
Pick them off one at a time, injure them, give them Achilles, you know, type injuries, knock them, put them in papers, all this type of stuff, and then they're destroyed. They don't go. They go away, or take the time up. So,
oh, by the way, I forgot to mention as well. When I went to Devon, I went to Totnes, where she's done that. What to call it?
How did you get in there with all them far rights in? Looking like you do. looking like you just come off Windrush.
I didn't go expecting to see anything, but I went on a Sunday and most of the shops were shut. But I did. I listened to Mariana Springs.
Was there a KKK gathering?
I listened to a podcast, those 15-minute podcasts she's done. Right. And it was in the town Totnes, north of Devon, or in Devon, where she says on the podcast, I'll do a little rundown of it later, actually. Not now.
I don't know if you can listen to it, to be honest with you, Chris.
Well, no, you're listening to the enemy. I think it's interesting. Mm. But what was interesting was she's talking, you know, they're only 15 minutes as well, these little bites of nothing, you know what I mean? There's no depth to them at all, is there?
No, none.
But she interviews people up there, and it's quite interesting when you get her point of view of it.
No, she's not interviewing them, Chris.
Well, no. But she interviewed the ex-mayor. She spoke to the ex-mayor, and he said he saw people who used to be his friends. One of them tried to run him over in his car.
Right.
Whether he did or not, who knows? But he said, I used to consider him a friend. So what did you do to make your ex-friend try and run you over in a car if he did? What you did was you locked down the whole town. So you're guilty. I mean, I'm not saying he should try and run him over in his car. But what's interesting is when Mariana Spring's talking about it, she's just giving the obvious point of view. There's no discussion.
No,
you
know? No.
And I did notice an edit where she does actually ask this guy who's on the other side, and when he answers, he just cuts off when he's in the middle of his sentence.
Well, it's cleverly edited.
Yeah.
By her film
and
crew.
Also, she says, when she talks to Darren from The Light, she says that he's surrounded by papers and he's got his laptop with stuff on it, and I'm just sat there with my script on my knee, you know, making her all humble, and he's like this lunatic.
With my film crew.
And he looks agitated as well, that Rich.
Yeah. With my film crew and my $5 billion budget.
Yeah. And everyone she spoke to looked agitated, but she were agitated.
Mm.
Anyway, lovely town, Totnes, by the way.
Yeah. We spoke about that. I've got that to finish off, actually. I've got a presentation for the fact checkers that's quite interesting as well. I see our friend Matt Wancock has been in the newspapers again with the Divock inquiry.
I know. Seen such a bullshit glossing over of everything.
Yeah. Can you see
like
that?
We always said, in fact, what,
can you
what,
see
what,
that?
Yeah, I can see it. What we're going to talk about is the incompetence, not the fact that it's all bollocks.
Mm.
Just, we should have done this sooner, we should have done this later.
And in, I sort of, you know, we were talking about this in 2020, right? And I know a lot of other people were as well. It's not just us. I'm not saying we were the first or all like that. It's more the fact that people of our mindset knew that in 3 years' time or 5 years, when they do the Warren Commission rollover report like they did in JFK, that it's just going to be incompetence or greed or...
Bit of greed. Someone was wrong. Someone will get blamed.
They've got to roll out Baroness Moan, who ripped everybody off and made 25 million on some face masks that nobody used.
Yeah.
Now, are they crooks? Yeah. But this is what... They created the crooks so they could use these people to hide the real stories behind this.
I.e. it was all bollocks.
I.e. that... Well, again, I come back to Professor Giordano. I'll make a few people ill.
Yeah.
And make it look like something's happening. And
propagandize the F out of everyone else. Yeah. And people get sick.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, if you've got a test that isn't up to standard, then you can't say it's that. And even, I mean, somebody falls off a ladder and he's down as a divot death. You know what? It's just nonsense, isn't it?
No, but just forget all that, man. Just pathetic. Even with instinct, you could see it was all nonsense.
Yeah, you could see it was all nonsense. Yeah. I mean, this guy, these people that stand in front of this, is profoundly sorry for each death. So which death is Matt Hancock really sorry for? People who died of supposedly of COVID, right? Who fell off a ladder and were put on the birth death certificate that died of COVID, or were in an accident, all them people. How many of them people were there? Well, they didn't keep proper records, so there's no way of telling. Oh, shit, that's bad news. How many of those people didn't die of COVID, but with COVID? And all this stuff, you know, if you're listening, Mariana, that's what you should be investigating as a professional journalist. You should be investigating how many people died with COVID, not of, with. Scoop them away from the people, from the figures then, and what you're left with. And even their question, a lot of them are questionable. Mm. And this is the thing. This is why they're putting so much effort into this disinformation thing, so much money. Why are there 100 fact checkers? You know how much? These are big corporations that are backing these people. Massive corporations. Why can't the BBC?
Why can't they deliver some facts on how the suicide rate went up in the last 3 years?
Well, we're just going to talk about something now, aren't we? In a second, that you just emailed over, that we've been discussing for quite a while. And it was a new story that you emailed over, that what's behind the worrying rise of cancer in young people after cases in people aged 25 to 49 rises by 22%. Experts are blaming processed food, smoking, drinking, even pollution.
Fucking hell. I mean, and also, if I read that entire article. Let me get this right. Maybe I should find it. Yeah. But it said, if you go down that article, it says that they'll go up by up to 75% by 2030, I think it was.
Right.
How did they predict that?
Just lucky, Chris.
Must have Ferguson doing their
yeah.
But why? Anyway. Yeah, this thyroid cancer. Underneath that story, by the way, in that Mail Online, there was rising prostate cancer as well, story.
But again, you've got the Cancer Research UK, that is a £750 million a year business, not a charity, a business. The CEO earns ridiculous amounts of money of that. I'm going to do a rundown on some of these charities. I know we started doing something on them, but I'm going to do a rundown, a bit like we're going to do on these things in a minute. These companies, they've got nearly £1 billion worth of assets, cancer research. What have they actually cured in 20 years? Since 2000, when it was formed, amalgamating with two charities.
What were the two? I didn't know that.
I forget what they were called now. I've done it. We mentioned them before, or I have.
Yeah.
But I will do some other charities.
They turned into the monster in 2020, did they?
Yeah, round about 2020. Right. It's funny enough, they turned the millennium. And
right. 2000, sorry.
Yeah. So since then, they've raised like hundreds of millions a year, up to the point today, I think it's 650 million. They've literally raised, I don't know, 10, 15 billion over that period of time. What have they actually solved?
Nothing.
Nothing.
What has anybody solved?
In fact, it's got worse. It's got worse.
It's got worse. They're telling you it's got worse.
They're telling
you it's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse.
How can there be an increase in 75%?
And there's more of them. Hmm. It used to just be cancer. Now there's hundreds of them.
I mean, I never... It's saying these youngsters are dying of kidney cancer.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, there's only several things that's happened, Chris. That's the turning on of 5G... And the mass use of that type of technology by youngsters, ear pods and stuff like that, over the last 4 or 5 years.
It can't be that far. Or the jab, because they're not mentioned in the Daily Mail's article.
It's pollution.
Drinking, smoking, and pollution.
Pollution, yeah. And I'm sure they're part of it as well. That's the thing. I'm sure that's part of it. But when anyway, it's how, you know, these people who call themselves researchers or journalists or reporters, whatever you want to call it, how anybody with a brain cell can't even question this, even if we've got it totally wrong.
I was going to say, even if we're mental, right?
Yeah.
And we've got it totally wrong. Why is it not mentioned that, you know, could it be something to do with
the Spears?
Yeah.
Why is it not mentioned? Why even mention that?
Yeah, it should be mentioned. If you've got nothing to hide, mention it. Just say, some nutters might think it's something to do with the arm spear, but we know it's not, etc.
Because of this, that, and other. But in fairness, it's not career enhancing. Also, I don't think they've got the mental aptitude to do it, and or they're part of an intelligence operation. Because, or all three altogether, or they're being paid off not to say anything.
Or they're just not allowed to mention certain things. Like, I mean, it could be that simple. The editor just goes, all right, you can do this story, but you can't mention...
You can't mention that. You can't mention this.
Well, yeah. I think it's coming out now that was part of the whole thing for the last 2 or 3 years.
Well, of course it will.
People were allowed to mention it. But 70, later in the article, it says 75% for...
Yeah.
By 2030, 2035.
Children and men.
Children and men. But how did... If they've got a rise and they don't understand where it is, how can they predict that it'll go up that high by another 50% in the next 10, 20 years?
Mm. Well, again, is this now the push, the sell, the marketing of the new jabs?
Probably.
You know, if you don't, this is what's going to happen to you when it's that did it in first place. So get this new mRNA anti-cancer jib jab.
Well, if you do that, you fucking...
It's going to put more squids in you.
More Hydras.
Yeah.
Hail Hydra.
Should say that. Like, you sound far right.
I'm far right.
Especially being as dark as you are. You wouldn't have been able to compete at the 1936 Olympics in Berlin.
What? Because I'm a lazy twat, or
because your nostrils.
Hey, just quickly before you go on. It's quite interesting, isn't it? Because I noticed, because we go dark very quick, right? I've been to Devon, so I'm jet black.
Yeah.
And I see the shock on, because I work with youngsters and a few older folk. The older folk, like I'd say 30s upwards, go, fucking hell, you've gone brown. The younger ones get like double take it, but they won't say it.
Yeah.
They won't say, you've gone brown. And they don't, in fact.
No, I know.
How horrible is that?
I know.
Scared
you've
to
caught
say
some,
it.
Wog.
You've caught some. You've but they didn't say it.
We used to have his dad used to have a friend, didn't he? He was called Woggy.
No, but he were
white.
No, it's because his name was Warren.
Yeah, no, and he was called Woggy. That was his nickname.
Kind of sounds that's how it rhymes with Warren, I suppose, a little bit.
It didn't sound like Warren.
Did I tell you that thing that happened to me at work? I don't know if I mentioned it on this podcast. And one of the youngsters came in and said, I think I might have mentioned this. Is that a new browner? And I said, no, I've been here over a year. I apologise if I mentioned that one before.
But it's still funny. Still funny. All right, I'm going to call this Cracked Pipes or Crack Pipes. Yeah, this episode. And the reason is I got on one about water companies. And ironically, talking to Lorraine, while I were writing this out, I wasn't looking at my emails. Lorraine emailed me a similar thing to what we're writing out. How weird is that?
Mm. Weird. Strange. Synchronicities.
Yeah, I know. Strange. So I thought, I'll have a look at a few of the water companies. I know we did the wettest drought ever last year. But what interests me is, I went to a shop today and somebody said, oh yeah, you know, they're saying there's going to be an heat wave in July. Right, they said that in May there were going to be an heat wave in May. Any time there's a 3 or 4 sunny days now, it's an heat wave
or a dry spell
or a drought. Yeah,
used to be a week or two.
People used to call it summer. Just used to call it summer. That were it.
We're having a great summer.
Yeah, we're having a great summer.
Oh, this summer's blinding this year.
Yeah, but now they call it heat wave. I thought heat wave did boogie nights.
Boogie nights.
Whoa. Yeah, he was from Yorkshire, wasn't he?
Get out of it, really.
He was from Yorkshire. Yeah, Heatwave, white guy in there. What's he called now? I forget what he was called. He wrote Thriller, didn't he?
Did Michael he really? Jackson.
Yeah,
I didn't.
He worked with Quincy Jones. Yeah,
I bought a Heatwave album and it worked that good. If I'm honest,
Rod Temperton. Rod Temperton. He was the white guy playing keyboards. He wrote all Heatwave
Right.
songs, and he did Michael Jackson's Thriller album. A lot of the songs on there,
Right, didn't
and
know that.
lots of other stuff as well. Rod Temperton, and he had a broad Yorkshire accent. I think we're from Scarborough somewhere.
Right, but yeah, didn't know
Yeah,
that.
and very talented bloke, very talented guy. Yeah, weren't we all the sort of like big guys in R&B at the time? Well, to work
Music
with Michael
trivia.
Jackson and do Thriller, right?
Yeah.
And all them other songs, you know, you had to be. I remember reading Rod Temperton. I didn't even, you know, back in when I had Michael Jackson Thriller album, I didn't think of it. You didn't think, it just like, we're an American guy. And then when I bought Boogie Nights, or when Boogie, because I got into
Yeah.
Heatwave afterwards.
And gone back, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, bit of a detour there, but yeah. But what I was thinking earlier on, we had a conversation about this earlier on in the week. Imagine, Chris, imagine if instead of having these knobheads tell us our house is on fire, the whole of Canada's on fire, America's burning. How about if we said, you know what, it's fantastic that it's warm, isn't it? I tell you what, I look out my window, I see all these green fields. Let's put some polytunnels up and grow cabbages and carrots in them all year round.
Why don't we encompass?
Even if it ain't warming up, right? Let's just put that to one side. Let's just say we believe in the narrative or it is warming up. Let's grow all these vegetables and fruits in these massive polytunnels. Let's also do some dowsing, find all these underwater rivers and springs, get some taps. We can then utilize all this water that's never ending. Never ending.
Natural springs.
Natural
ending.
Springs don't run out. All these green fields could be covered in nice polytunnels that grow all this food for the local area.
Yeah. You might imagine them going on news and saying, do you know what? We've decided we're going to stop talking about the climate crisis and we're going to encompass it and we're going to welcome it with open arms. We're going to build polytunnels everywhere. We're just going to grow everything.
Yeah.
And then it'll produce more everything.
Wine for you.
More wine, we can grow great. We can start vineyards in England again.
Yeah.
Like they used to have in Roman times, apparently.
Yeah.
It's going to be fantastic. We've got such a beautiful future ahead of us. Yeah. Let's
Look at
do
Chris's
that.
Chris's tan. Goes with his nostrils now. Yeah. He ain't got Huddersfield grey.
Well, to be fair, without a bit of sun, I look like Homer Simpson. I'm bloody.
Yeah, you do.
Homer Simpson yellow. I do. You do more than me, Baldy.
Yeah. Yeah. I do. You're right. I do. I don't like being, I don't like going back to honky land.
Well, to be fair, we look jaundiced, don't we, without this?
Yeah,
so.
I don't suit it. Don't suit honkiness.
Mm.
Anyway, we're going away from.
And
from
also,
it again.
Did you see that? I think it was Ed who put it out. I took a picture of it because I was going to do a cartoon of it. Greta Thunberg in 2018, one of her tweets, a top climate. This is funny as well. It didn't even name him. A top. This is a quote from Greta in 2018 on a tweet, which she recently deleted. A top climate scientist is warning that climate change will wipe out all of humanity unless we stop using fossil fuels in the next
how
5 years.
How top worry then, Chris? How top worry?
Who was it?
No, but how top worry?
Well, he was top. Must have been top because he was talking to Greta.
Top, top or top at bottom?
No,
top.
He was top. He phoned her. He said, I'm a top scientist, Greta.
Right.
You need
and what did
tweet
Greta
this
say?
out.
How top?
No, she just said, I'll tweet that out for you. Top
I'll tweet
scientist.
That out. Yeah. Just got to be quiet a minute because my granddad's filming Monsters, Inc.
She said, what's your name? And he went, you were a deep throat cop.
Greta, this is a top scientist.
Yeah.
We're all fucked if we don't stop using our fossil fuels in the next 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
She went, I'm going to fucking run with that. I'm going to tweet it out because it must be a
5 years comes, nothing happens.
Oh, she's having a nice summer, Greta.
My house is on fire.
Except for water's boiling somewhere.
Yeah. I think Al Gore said I've got a video on Sheep Farm 2 on YouTube of him saying this was in early 2000s.
Well, when he made
saying that there's going to be basically nothing left on Earth.
Yeah.
10 years. That was 30 years ago.
Well, he won a fucking, he got an Oscar for that documentary.
I think he should. Well, he should. I mean, is he acting?
Yeah. Well, he's acting, yeah. He got an Oscar for that inconvenient truth.
Yeah.
Nothing. None of it happened.
Inconvenient
and made,
lie.
And then he made inconvenient bollocks too.
Yeah.
Brick.
No, but it's like 60,000 Hiroshima bombs exploding every day in the atmosphere, Chris.
Of course it is.
That's how bad it is.
That's what I feel like. I do just feel like lying down and getting a bit of sun.
Yeah.
No bed.
So I think if we embraced and felt our inner heat and put Boogie Nights on and laid in the sun, got the polytunnels built, Sprayed some nice spring water on them. That's all around us. There's massive underwater springs and rivers and stuff like that under UK. We don't even need desalination plants. Don't need them.
Lovely.
Don't need
them. What a beautiful future.
Yeah. What a beautiful future that is.
Oh, no, hang on a minute. We're all going to die and we're going to get nuclear bombed and there's pandemics coming in left, right and centre.
Yeah.
He
Unless
said,
Bruce Willis stops that asteroid.
Well, do you know what? It's funny you say that because I saw another asteroid. I mean, they drag that one out every couple of years, I suppose, don't they?
Yeah.
There's another massive asteroid on its way to Earth. And they had a picture of, you know, different buildings. They had the Gherkin. It was bigger than the Gherkin, but it was smaller than the Shard. And it's heading at 9 times speed of sound towards Earth.
9 times speed of sound.
How do they know?
They just know, Chris.
You know,
just know. They measured it with a ruler. Yeah.
Al Gore said the North Pole will be ice-free in the summer of 2013 because of man-made global warming.
Only thing that were ice-free last week were my glass of water. It melted.
What a prick.
I know.
And now he's got the cheek. I mean, so he must have said that in 2000. I don't know when that film came out. Was it 2000? Mm. So he said, 2010, I'm guessing. Was it?
Well, we did it. I did a film.
It was younger. It was 2008, I think, that film came out.
I suggest anybody's interested, go watch that presentation that we did. It's on Sheep Farm. The YouTube channel, the main one, the presentation we did on Rise that I wrote out on Rise Above.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what I did the drawing for.
Yeah, that's so on there.
I think he did that film in 2008 around that time, and he was basically saying in 5 years,
again,
there'll be no
where
ice
are
caps.
All these reporters? Why aren't you interviewing that top scientist?
Yeah, but
said,
then Al Gore gets invited back again to say the seas are boiling.
It's worth $333 million, Chris.
Exactly, 333.
$330 million is worth, right? And his business partner in the offset carbon tax credit business, he's called Blood, and he's called Gore.
Blood and Gore.
Blood and Gore.
What a team-up. Is
that
what they call the company?
Now.
Is that what they call the company?
Yeah.
Blood and Gore.
Yeah.
And death.
Yeah. Blood and Gore. Scam. That's what it's called. We're going to scam you. Anyway, so that got me onto this cracked pipes or crack pipes. Because Sussex Water, I'm going to get this right, Crabclaws said to me that they're going to put a nose pipe ban out. But I've read, I checked it, and it said they weren't doing a nose pipe ban. But what they said was that they're actually, Jacko said on the news, a guy stood by a reservoir saying, even though this reservoir's full, Sussex Water are thinking or are going to do a nose pipe ban. Not because that there's no water, but because of the cracked pipes.
Well,
they
again,
might have got Sussex wrong. It might have been somewhere else.
That goes back to when we were kids and those trucks were ferrying water through our village to the
1995.
Well, and bear in mind, Huddersfield's got one of the highest rainfalls in England.
Yeah, I know. And
so it's not hard to work out. And like you've said before, they haven't built a new dam since 1990s.
They've built one new reservoir since they were floated, right? But they've closed about 100.
So they've invested
or they plan to close, yeah.
Fixed nothing.
And these companies turn billions over together.
Of course they do, the controlling water and you pay.
That was one company or one organisation split off now, and I'm going to go into who owns these companies. That's what I've done. I've dug out several of the water companies, and I thought I'll just go through a few of them. And the wages and who the CEOs are and how much they're getting paid. And again, I've got no problem with anybody getting paid a load of money, to be quite fair. Problem I've got is if they're there, right, and they're lying bastards.
Yeah, and they're not delivering the service you were paying for.
Yes, and they're part of the parasite.
Like the government and the water boards and the electricity companies.
Like we're talking about Hancock and all these other people, you know. And again, this comes out again. If you're a reporter or a journalist, yeah, why aren't you going to town on this? And I'll tell you why. Because if you wrote a story like this, your editor or your newspaper wouldn't run it. They wouldn't be allowed to run it. And that's how chicken shit it all is.
So you need to dodge out of there and go independent.
Well, they're not going to do that.
Use your journalistic skills. And
they're not going to do that because the Wonga isn't there. So Mrs. Spring or Miss Spring, when she's on a six-figure sum from the BBC... using the taxpayers' money, and she doesn't do these kind of things, then she's obviously you know, disinformation expert.
Not just taxpayers, fat, it's Bill Gates as well.
Oh, no, sorry,
it's
Bill, Bill no, Gates. No, it's not Bill Gates. It's a separate charity, that,
yeah,
Chris.
Sorry, 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 sorry.
It's a separate charity. Don't have big tits involved. No,
that's
because,
World Tech
well,
Group.
Just because he's given 60 million, what it, over the last 10 or 20 years to the BBC Charity Media Watch. BBC
Media
Watch,
that's it. Sorry, yeah.
So it's got BBC Media Watch in, but it's not BBC, all right?
Right, yeah.
It's not the same place.
Clear that up, yeah.
Yeah, just clear that up. Yeah, it's not like BBC
I feel like
News.
I'm going mental sometimes.
I know. Sometimes you like go, have another glass of wine, man. Get a grip. Right. So, first one I'm going to come to in this cracked pipes or crack pipes is be a good drawing that actually. Is Thames Water? Thames have confirmed that its chief executive Sarah Bentley will receive pay and perks topping 1.6 million a year. Despite the company indicating last month that she will forgo a bonus during the sewage leakage crisis. She's still getting 1.6 though, Chris.
That was in Devon, that.
But she's not getting a bonus.
Oh, right. Yeah,
she's not having a bonus, just getting 1.6.
How much for a bonus? 300 quid?
I don't know. Just get
like
a
about the fucking biggest bonuses I've ever had.
Yeah, a couple of stamps. She's not having that, but anyway, she's... So I thought I'd look into who the largest, or some of the large shareholders are of Thames Water. One of them is Ontario Municipal Employees Retirement System, or its acronym OMERS. It's a Canadian public pension fund. OMERS is a corporate partner of the World Economic Forum. Also one of the shareholders is the University's Superannuation Scheme, USS. Good old SS in there, is a pension scheme in the United Kingdom with nearly 90 billion under management as of August 2021. And it's got 400,000 members, and it's made up of active and retired academic and academic related staff. Dame Catherine Barker, a British economist, is chairwoman of the USS, of the SS. And she's noted for a role at the Bank of England and advising the British government on social issues. One of the other Thames Water shareholders is the China Investment Corporation, which is a sovereign wealth fund that manages part of the People's Republic of China's foreign exchange reserves.
We're out there the enemy, don't we? Hate them because they're communists.
Chris, have another drink.
All right, sir. By the way, I just looked right, and I might have missed a zero here, but if she's on 1.6 million, a 40-hour week, her hourly rate is £769 an hour.
Yeah, I don't think she negotiated right well, did she?
What can you possibly do that is
Isn't
worth...
that below minimum wage?
I might have that wrong, by the way, so don't quote me on that. I might have missed a zero for something, but as a very rudimentary look, I think she's on £769 an hour. And these fuckers don't do any more than 40 hours, fire. Because we know these kind of box-ticking bureaucrats. They don't work after 5 o'clock, do they? Like someone who's got their own business.
No, well, a lot of these people come from one job. And I forget, I'm sure I did put some background, something of a check on this, where she actually came from. So she's sort of worked her way up. And this hell. Is what this is what you're not...
She moved her way up from hell.
Worked her way up from hell. this is what you normally see is... that a lot of these people are they come from a job. We've got this right here. Yeah, she was chief executive of Openreach, which is part of was part of BT Group, which was another public Tech company, the public organization that was floated.
Yeah.
So you tend to see this. One of them were.
She's obviously quite comfortable.
Sorry, I'm talking to somebody else here. She's at Severn Trent, which we're going to come on to. But right. she's worked at similar sort of organisations before, is what I'm trying to say.
But your point is these people are quite happy to take the money and just screw over the general public.
Yeah. Well, just make excuses up. That's what they are. The CEOs, the chief executive officers.
Make excuses for not.
So her salary, her basic salary, was £750,000. Topped up with 90,000 in pension payments and 32,000 in travel.
Where did she go? Well,
she was travelling, Chris.
32 grand worth of travel.
Yeah. Early today, the Water Industry Watchdog Watchdog. I like that. So this is from a newspaper. This. So is it Ofwat? The watchdog that's watching them all, but it's funded by the water companies, but it's watching the water companies.
Right.
Yeah. I supplied the weapons to the SS and told them not to shoot anybody. They've given the green light to accelerate around £2.2 billion worth of investments to reduce leaks and river pollution.
Right.
But the watchdog's done that. Ofwat said it has improved 33 investment schemes by water companies. Approved, sorry. 33 investment schemes. So Ofwat has approved them. And it's £2.2 billion to cover sewage. Not leaks, sewage. So pumping sewage into the sea or into a river, which you think really happened 200 years ago, and that's where everyone were getting cholera and stuff like that. Now, wind it on, and these massive corporations are still pumping shit out into the sea and into... But remember, Chris, the part of World Economic Forum, a lot of these people, and they're all for a green planet.
Yeah.
Just pumping a bit of shit into the sea doesn't matter, though.
No. As long as you're carbon neutral and you've got a Tesla.
Yeah. Like bitch tits when he was saying, when he said his family invest more in carbon neutral products than in the, so we're, you know, they're neutral basically. They can fly around on right. private jets you and stuff like that. Yeah, they're fine. They're fine. Carbon neutral. Right. Southern Water, their chief executive is a guy called Lawrence Gosden. He hadn't disclosed his pay, but you can guarantee he's probably somewhere similar. Currently, the largest shareholders are JP Morgan Asset Management. They own 40%. And their CEO is called James or Jamie Dimon. It could be Dimon, but there you
Why
go.
Not?
He's a Greek-American bankster, and he was a Class A board member of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and Trilateral Commission, and he was a World Economic Forum Global Leaders of Tomorrow in 1996. And he's attended the World Economic Forum meetings since 2007 to 2023. And JP Morgan are corporate partners of the World Economic Forum. So spewing shit into sea, rivers, streams, killing birds, fish and that, that's our fault. Because we need water. Yeah. It's our fault. We need water.
Bastards.
Yeah. We should be whacked with stinging nettles over our naked backs for hours on end for that. Also, a large shareholder of Southern Water is UBS Asset Management. CEO of this group, of UBS Group, is a guy called Sergio Pietro Emote. He attended the Bilderberger 2022 meeting in Washington and the World Economic Forum meetings from 2011 to 2014, which was, the 2014 one was called Reshaping the World. I wonder what that could be. UBS are also a corporate partner of the World Economic Forum. I wonder if they go there and say, right, I'm going to reshape the world. What we want you to do is invest in a water company and spew shit into seas and rivers and streams.
Well, to be honest, I think they probably do have a conversation similar to that, but not like that. It'll probably be skirting around it as a fact. How do we save money? Well, we spend less on this. You know, like a nice way of delivering, spewing shit into the sea. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You will know what there. Yeah. But we need to make sure our investment is done, and we need to cut the back on this and that.
Yeah.
I.e., we're going to spew some shit into the sea.
Yeah. Right. We're going to put a nose pipe ban out there, and spew shit into the sea. We're not going to build any reservoirs, and we're going to say there's a water shortage because we're closing all reservoirs. And there's
if we put a hose pipe ban in for a month, then we'll have X amount of profit, etc.
Yeah.
And also will boost the global climate warming.
Do you know another thing they blamed for hose pipe ban? Because people are working from home.
Right. Okay. What? They just put their hose pipes on because they're at home.
I always put my hose pipe on.
You just like
home,
sound of it, don't you?
Yeah. I filled my glasses up with hose pipes. It's an hose pipe ban.
I don't even use taps, just a hose pipe. Just got an hose pipe going through the house.
Yeah.
Put foot by foot with an hose pipe.
Put sprinkler on, love. I've got a water feature in the middle of the house now. You know when you jump through the middle of the sprinkler to try not get wet?
Yeah.
You don't grow up, do you? Yeah. So that's Southern Water. So these are the people that running the water in Britain. Severn Trent Water, the CEO there and chief executive director is Olivia Garfield. She's on 3.21 million a year.
Right,
so you thought
not?
That other lady's a peasant in comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck all compared to Garfield.
Yeah, absolutely. She's nothing, nothing. Just a mere peasant flying your windscreen. And she, Severn Trent major, you can see a screenshot I've done here, Chris. Severn Trent's major shareholders. Yeah. Top one, Legal and General Investments. So if your pensions were Legal and General, which mine used to be, they're funding pissing shit into Rivers.
And
they're
paying,
happy about it.
Paying her 3.21 million.
Yeah. One of the other, two of the other shareholders in this, in our water, well, in Legal and General, sorry, in our water company, so Severn Trent, is Vanguard Group and BlackRock. Oh, BlackRock are part of the Rusty Tank War.
Yeah.
They've just opened the Bank of Resettlements with JP Morgan or one of them, Chase. Anyway, who's the largest shareholder in Legal and General? This is how it works as well. So you've got shareholders within Severn Trent Water, BlackRock and Vanguard, and then you've got shareholders in Legal and General. As of June 2023, BlackRock is the largest shareholder in Legal and General of 8.6.
Right.
You see where it goes?
Yeah, so they own more than they're actually admitting.
Exactly,
they own,
yeah. Another company that owns shares in Legal and General. So all these companies own shares in Legal and General that own the water. Hmm. So they're behind the scenes. They can say, spew shit into rivers, for argument's sake, or save money here. We're going to save some money in the counter. The action of saving money there means there's a hole somewhere.
They don't actually say, we're going to spew shit into water.
No, but they know what's going to happen. One of the companies is called Capital Research and Management, World Investors. Nobody's probably ever heard of these, right? But I haven't, but they're a massive organisation, a Capital. And former British Prime Minister Theresa May's husband, Sir Philip May, worked as a relationship manager for Capital Group while she was Prime Minister, managing tens, if not hundreds of billions of dollars worth of investments. Nothing to see here, Chris. In July 2020, he was knighted by Boris Johnson.
Right, might as well.
Well, not by him, but he was... Also shareholders in Legal and General are the Vanguard Group, so they're doubling up with their ownership of Severn Water, and State Street Global Advisors Limited. I mean, these are, honestly, those three companies, BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, basically own most of the world.
Well, from what we've done, in fact, they come up all the time, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's funny, isn't it, that I was just thinking that Vanguard did an advert. So they're doing an advert on TV when people are just watching Strictly Come Dancing or whatever bollocks.
Yeah.
And no one actually knows what they are, do they? Do you
remember? No, they just stick two fingers up
little Churchill V,
yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure is some kind of esoteric symbology. I can't remember what. Mm. But isn't that, why would you spend money on an advert for something that no one really knows what it is or has anything to do with? Is it just a in your face reverse?
Sticking twos up.
Twos up.
Don't know. But then they've got different investment groups, like they've got BlackRock Investment Management UK, BlackRock Advisors UK. So they've got different types of investing models.
A bit like BBC.
A bit like BBC. It's not the same company, though.
No, it's not the same company. Don't have anything to do with those bastards.
No. So South West Water CEO, Suzanne Davey, earns a base salary of only $460,000 a year. And the firm says this year a bonus will be for pissing water, shit into the sea, $450,000. So she'll earn $900,000 plus a year.
Not bad, though, is it?
Well, I'd say it's a bit paltry, if you ask me, but there you go. Southwest Water is part of the Pennon Group. Pennon Group PLC is a British water utility company. Now, Pennon Group, their major shareholders are the Vanguard Group. So Vanguard manage $7.7 trillion dollars worth of assets in global assets. As of April 2023, Vanguard owns parts in the large majority of the world's biggest company, including cross-ownership with BlackRock and State Street. Together, the three have a dominating, even some would say controlling, share in all the world's publicly listed companies on every stock exchange, like Alphabet, which is Google, and PayPal and all the Microsoft and all these companies that we that are just in this face, they own massive stakes in these companies that sway in what direction they can go in, what they've got to follow. BlackRock Investment Management, the CEO is, and one of the co-founders is Larry Fink. BlackRock are also a World Economic Forum partner. Larry Fink is a, we covered him in the Machiavellian Parasites, World Economic Forum ones. He's a World Economic Forum Board of Trustees member. Fink is also pushing, taking action on global climate warming change bollocks, even though his company invests in petroleum industry. And he flies around in a private jet. But he's doing loads for carbon neutral emissions and stuff like that, Chris.
Human neutral. Susan Davey, with a 950 grand, including bonus, is on £456 an hour. If she does a 40-hour week.
Right.
Just to say, that's how my mind works.
Do you know what?
Hourly rates.
if she could be paid 900,000 a year, right? All right, they want to... All these people are there for is to produce a profit. Right, they can say all they want about, oh, we'll fix that hole and that water spewing out of here and that sewage there. But all they're interested in is delivering a profit and the share price increase. That is it.
It's horrible, isn't it? Because
that's all they're there for. I were in business. I know what it's like. That's what you're there. You're there to hit targets. When she got that job, Chris, right? They'll have asked her, right? I don't know what they turn over. Let's just say they turn 2 billion over. They generally stay 5-7 years, something like that. Is that roughly? So you're going to stay 5 or 7 years. By the time you finish, we're going to be turning 5 billion over. How are you going to get there? That's what they'll be getting given. That'll be task of when they have the job interview, they'll have been given that task. How do you increase our sales by 3 billion? So some of it will be cost savings. I can bring new technology in, save you some money here, save you some money there, for argument's sake. We can buy this company or that company and add another turnover on there and plug them into our business, and we can increase sales by doing this and that and the other. And that's how they do it. Now, them people at the top aren't bothered, or because I've met people like this, they don't care how they get there. All they want is, they don't want the backlash. You'll get the backlash. That's why you're in the job.
But in the,
that's why they get
in the,
paid the big
in,
bucks.
In our polytunnel spring hobbit world, it should be someone at the top going, how do we make this cheaper for everybody? How do we make it more efficient and cheaper and better for everybody?
Well, that's let's face it, none of this should be chargeable. None of it, right? Water doesn't need to be chargeable.
Well,
the amount we pay in as taxes, right? Let's just say everybody paid an extra quid this year.
It should be inclusive. Right. It should be inclusive. No,
let's just say we paid a quid, right? Yeah. That's 70 million. How many reservoirs could we dig and get for 70 million? And we talk about reservoirs being the other thing. As we said, you can dig springs and wells and things like this on a big scale. Not, I'm not on about a little well with a bucket in it.
You'd have to build springs, right? They're everywhere.
They're there, everywhere. Yeah. The water is endless. Nobody even knows where it comes from.
No.
Yeah, no. I don't hear Brian Cochran saying, well, water comes from here. No. Nobody knows where it comes from.
But he knows where a meteorite hit 750 million.
Of course he does, man. Of course he does. In fact, if he zips his leather jacket, gets inside pocket, pulls that graph out, right, he can tell you to the day when
after
it's going to...
After he's passed his D-Ream lyric.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool, though, isn't it?
I don't know. You just get a bubbling... When you're reading this stuff out, I just get a bubbling, underlining anger inside.
Well, I get an anger because, you know, I've nothing wrong with business. I think people have traded all their lives, right? Some people are good at it. Don't mean to say you've got to put your foot on somebody's throat to do
it.
I
have as well, but humans come first.
Yeah, humans come first. The necessities, water, air, food, all these things, right? We could live on...
But imagine having a morally not based person in charge of this stuff. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Imagine just having a nice, normal person who wants to make things better.
But they wouldn't last because it's a parasitical world. They wouldn't last. They won't last. And the sad thing is, Chris, that there are people, I'll use sport as an example, there are people that are faster than other people, there are people that are stronger than other people naturally. Some people could train all their life and never be as strong as somebody who's naturally strong, for argument's sake. Just how it is, right? And some people are the same in business, some people are just better than
same
people
in art
in business.
And cooking, fine.
Same in art and everything, right? That doesn't mean to say the people who are good should destroy the ones that aren't. There's no need for that. I don't think anybody would begrudge somebody who's better than somebody at something earning more or getting more for it.
No.
Right? And that's not the point. The point is
what you're delivering. They're being paid to comply.
What you're delivering is shit. Right? And yeah. But when you see the people that own it, you realize that they're owned by the parasite. They can't go any other way.
Yeah.
Even if it were me and you or people listening, they would still run it the same way. Because the parasite's running it. They own it.
And I think that parasitical mind has spread throughout smaller businesses as well.
Yeah.
I think that's how, I've seen it in the chefing world, you know, where it's become a corporate company. And then we've got to lose a few ounces off that chicken dish.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you're getting a shit chicken dish. But no one really cares what the customer thinks as long as you get a decent TripAdvisor, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know it's...
And from a cooking point of view, Fire, it should be that I love cooking for someone and I want to deliver the best products can to them. You know, you have to make the budget and all that stuff. But then, as soon as it goes corporate, it goes to a point of, well, if we instead of doing an 8 ounce steak, we do a 6 ounce steak, we'll make across the board, we'll make extra 1,000 this or that. But then the customer's miserable, but they don't care.
No, they don't care.
The chef's miserable because he's cooking it for them and he knows they're miserable.
Yeah.
He knows they know they're being skanked.
Yes. Yeah.
But the guy sat in the accountant room doesn't care.
No, he don't care.
Even though that will, in the long term, destroy the business. Look at Jamie Oliver's. Jamie's, whatever it was.
Italians.
That's what happened to that. It got destroyed.
Yeah.
From the inside.
Yeah, what's happening.
That's what's happening. It was crap. But that's what's happening to the country from the inside. And no one even notices.
Nobody notices it. No.
Because Jamie Oliver's probably core idea, I'm not saying it was his, whatever team was behind him, was probably quite good.
Yeah.
And they had beautiful buildings, really good service. And the food just got shitter and shitter and shitter.
Whether you like Jamie Oliver or not, one thing he will say is passionate.
I don't like Jamie Oliver.
He's passionate.
Well, whatever.
No, but what I mean is...
I take that back. I don't dislike him.
What I mean is he's passionate about what... He seems to be passionate about... Maybe he's passionate because he wants to earn a load of money. I don't know, but...
I'm not on about him, though, Fai. I'm on about the
restaurant.
I'm not.
What I'm trying to say is he probably had the best intentions with it.
Yes, yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. But the vulture capitalists behind him...
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say, yeah. Exactly.
Who put the money in do not care.
So, yeah, he's got... like I said, he's got a chicken dish on his menu. Nothing to do with him, but there's a chicken dish on Jamie's menu and it's 7 or 8 ounces.
Well, you can understand a lot of these companies, Chris.
Let's lose a few of those potatoes. If we do that across the board and we've got 200 restaurants, then we'll make an extra 230 grand a year.
Well, you've got to understand some of these companies, right, when they start them up and the investors, even if it goes down, they actually earn money back.
They don't care.
No, it's not that they don't care. It's tax deductible. So there's schemes that the government run called enterprise investment schemes or seed enterprise investment schemes. So you can, people of high net worths invest money into new start businesses. Yeah. And if it fails, they will get back 40% of their investment. Yeah. Is tax deductible. Mm. Right. And on a seed investment, 70 or 75% is tax deductible.
Right.
Right. So they've only lost 25% of tax that they were going to pay anyway.
So it's just a fucking parasite system.
So the system is set up for, they call it, right, this isn't even tax avoidance, it's a government scheme. Anybody can do it. However, when you're playing with big numbers, so these companies, when you talk to vulture capitalists, and I've talked to a few of them, they expect only one out of five companies to succeed. And when they look at success, they look at it as a 10 or 15 times return on the money, yeah? And they expect the other four, out of them other four, two or three of them just to fold after 2 or 3 years, and one of them maybe to do 7 times return or 5 times return, yeah?
And also, Fatty, on the scary side of that is they're probably investing in their parasitical way in talented people who've got good ideas, and they're just fucking sucking them dry.
Oh, yeah.
The ultimate parasite.
Oh, yeah, ultimate.
And this is the world we're in, though. I mean, you know, you watch The Apprentice with Alan Sugar. That's the world we're in, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Fucking, you're fired. I'm going to fucking make that. It disgusts me. It really does. It disgusts me.
So,
and that's why we're dying from the inside.
Yeah. Wessex Water, chief executive, Colin Skeleton. He's pays $975,000 a year. Last year, Wessex Water had issued a warning about non-essential water use, and Skellit has a 40-foot swimming pool at his house in the village just outside Bath. Interesting name. I wonder if he fills that. His house is, yeah. So he's got a 40-foot swimming pool, and he's the CEO of the company that told people that they couldn't use non-essential water. Wessex Water paid out £975,000 in fines over raw sewage spills in Dorset in 2018.
Right, yeah, unbelievable.
I mean, that is, I suppose, the Covey Wears Lancet say, you know, you can't use an hose pipe to wash your car, right?
Bobby Big
but I can have a swimming pool. Well, he's diving in his swimming pool. He's on his phone. Yeah, stop on my hose pipe. Just hang on a minute. Just diving in my swimming pool.
I've spilled my fucking daiquiri.
Yeah. Can I have more ice in that, please? Wessex Water is owned by Malaysian power company YTL Corporation. Current executive chairman is Francis Yeo Sok Ping. I got that right. Also known as Francis Yeo. He was awarded Commander of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire, CBE, by a late Majesty the Queen, Elizabeth II. And in 2006, she upgraded that to a Knight Commander, so he's a Sir. His father was a Sir as well. He's passed away now. He founded YTL. Yeo was a World Economic Forum Young Global Leader of Tomorrow in 1995. His niece, Michelle Yeo, is a Malaysian heiress, socialite, model, and fashion influencer. She's also a World Economic Forum attendee multiple times, and she was voted in the BBC's list of 100 inspiring and influential women from around the world on 23rd of November 2020. Also on that list was Alicia Garza, World Economic Forum Global Leaders of 2020, sorry, and she founded the Black Lives Matter movement.
Cool.
Yeah. The Yeos are from Malaysian royalty. And his brother was also a young global leader as well.
It just harks back that there's no countries fire. These
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, why is a Malaysian running
running British water? Yeah. Wessex Water. I bet when people are drinking the water with fluoride in it and aluminium and all the shite that goes in it, I bet they're not thinking, oh, I bet a Malaysian, ex-Malaysian royalty over this. All World Economic Forum global leaders.
All knighted, booted.
All knighted and booted.
All the accolades.
Well, loads there of them go. As well. That could have been a show on its own, that family. I've mentioned them before on something else, and I can't remember what it were, but I have mentioned that family before. They keep coming, popping back up. United Utilities, UU, on the stock market. Chief Executive, Steve Mogford. His pay is $3.2 million. He's been there since 2011. I bet he has.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. The largest shareholders in this company are the Vanguard Group and BlackRock. Also, one of the shareholders are the Lazard Limited, which is a financial advisory and asset management firm that engages in investment banking, asset management, and other financial services. And just by luck, it's also a World Economic Forum corporate partner.
Right. It all seems to be,
Yeah. Chairman and CEO of Lazard is Kenneth M. Jacobs. He's attended more or less every Bilderberger meeting since 2007, right up to 2023. And he's been a World Economic Forum attendee from 2013 to 2023. Sorry, to 2023. So for the last 10 years. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations as well. CEO of Financial Advisory at Lizard Limited is Peter Oszag. He's a Bilderberger attendee from 2010 to 2012 and World Economic Forum attendee from 2017 to 2023. And he's also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. The Lazard family were one of the 8 original founding members of the Federal Reserve Bank in 1913.
I know I was joking, but Lazard Lizard?
Well, that family, in fairness, are one of the dynasties. There's no doubt about it. I mean, to be one of the founding members of the Federal Reserve, one of the 8 original members.
Isn't it funny, right, that Bilderberg were literally one of the original conspiracies?
Yeah.
That everyone went on about the Bilderberg. But then when they got actually, when people started to go to where the next Bilderberg meeting was, then they were all just jogging, saying, yeah, yeah, we have a meeting. Yeah.
Yeah, and the snipers on roof and stuff now.
Yeah, yeah, but release the minutes. What are you talking about?
Yeah. So just got a couple more, and then we end this first part. Northumbrian Water is an only owned subsidiary of Northumbrian Water Group. Its chief executive is Heidi Mottram. Her pay is a paltry $648,000 a year. She's been there since 2010.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. In 2011, it was acquired by Chung Kong Infrastructure Holdings, the largest publicly listed infrastructure company in Hong Kong. Parented by CK Hutchinson Holdings. I remember them because they were the ones that came up with Orange Telecom. Hutchinson, right. Telecom, yeah. They're a massive telecommunication company from Hong Kong. I remember going to Hong Kong in the 90s and they were all over the place there. Businessman Lee Ka-shing, flagship company. He's also knighted. Sir Ka-shing. It's the right name. Sir Ka-shing Lee.
Ka-shing.
Knight Commander. glad I put my teeth in. Knight Commander of the British Order. Another knight. No, sorry, Knight Commander of the Order of the British Empire. His son, Victor, is another Hong Kong businessman, and he's now chairman of the board and group co-managing director of CK Hutchinson Holdings. He was World Economic Forum Global Leader of Tomorrow in 1993. That was when Tony B. Lai were there. And also in 2005. His brother is Richard Lee Zakai, and he was previously the governor of the World Economic Forum for Information Technologies and Telecommunications. Come to Yorkshire Water. The last one. I thought I'd put a bit of Yorkshire Water in. I know we mentioned Yorkshire Water in the other one, but I thought I'd just remind us. Chief executive of Yorkshire Water, as we say it up here, is Nicola Shaw. She hadn't disclosed her pay, but I'll come to that in a minute. She's been there since last May. Her predecessor, though, earned $1.4 million a year. So I'd like to think it's probably more than that, but it's probably a similar amount.
Yeah.
The parent company was called Kelder Group in 1999. In February 2008, Kelder Group was bought by a consortium of infrastructure funds, including Citigroup and HSBC. Also, GIC Special Investments own 33.56%. 9/11 could be. The DWS Group, which, again, you see DWS Group, you wouldn't think anything of that, but it's basically Deutsche Bank. Deutsche Bank own another large chunk of it. So a German asset management company own Yorkshire Water. And Deutsche Bank are a World Economic Forum partner and they're sponsors of the World Economic Forum Young Global Leaders Programme. Deutsche Bank also has Twin Towers in Frankfurt.
Right.
Should look them up, Chris.
Right.
And the largest shareholders in Deutsche Bank are Vanguard Group and Goldman Sachs.
Mental.
CEO of Deutsche Bank is Christian Serwing. He's a World Economic Forum attendee from 2017 to 2022.
Isn't it mad fact to think that all this from when Maggie Thatcher sold them all off?
Yeah.
All this has happened, I don't know, what was that, mid-80s? Late 80s.
It was mid to late, depends on which one it was. I remember Gas One were first, wasn't it? Where they were looking for Bob.
Yeah.
That one.
All this research you've done here stems from that.
Yeah. Listen, again, I won't class this as deep research. This took me about an hour to chuck together.
Yeah, but my point is that the country, in theory, owned this company.
Yes.
These companies.
Now we're getting goosed. Now we're getting poisoned.
It's literally owned by all these elitist families from all around the world.
Yes.
They're all been knighted and sirred and whatever.
Well,
for doing what they're doing.
Council on Foreign Relations. Yeah.
And it was all, so we've seen this happen in our lifetime since, let's say, 1985, 88, whatever.
Yeah. I think Water were 1990, I think. I do believe, right. I remember, around that, well, 1989,
well,
around
you know
that
what?
Year.
Say 1990 to now. So it's took 33 years for them to... Yeah. Take over England, basically.
Parasiters.
With water, yeah.
Which, I remember at the time, I'm saying that if foreign entities were the enemies get involved in this, it could goose his water supply up. But it isn't foreign enemies, is it? These are just not the part of the
global parasites. Yeah. It's global parasites. And they're all getting knighted and fucking awarded and paid ridiculous money just to screw over their own populace. Well, the English ones are screwing over their own populace, aren't they?
Of course, yeah. 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 100%. There is no doubt about it,
like,
really.
Like I always say, about they sleep like fucking babies.
Yes. Yeah.
And I stay awake stressing if I upset someone at work.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Weird, isn't it?
Don't actually.
A lot of people are still keeling over as well. We'll talk about that in part two. And we'll discuss what's going on around the world in part two. We'll call that a day for part one.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It is a bit annoying when you're doing this research at times. I know somebody listened to the George Orwell one that we did and just said another hero down the drain or something like that. And
that's what I said.
Yeah.
And also, the thing we did in St. Anne's, that's the most I've ever listened to myself talking. And it gives me goosebumps, but in a bad way. And also, I've realised I sound half drunk all the time, even if I hadn't been drinking.
So what you're saying is even when you're sober, you sound pissed?
Yeah. That's what I got from that when we were in St. Anne's, because I had to listen to 2 hours of myself. I never listened to our podcast back, ever.
Yeah.
I think I've listened to one. I think one of the Uxleys, which I found quite interesting, weirdly listened to, because we recorded it, then I listened to it ages after.
Yeah.
But what a real, because there was one bit when we listened to that one in St. Anne's, and you went, oh, I think you're fucking a bit drunk. And I said, no, that one in the daytime. But I'll
take it Mickey out of there. I know it wasn't daytime. I know when we recorded them.
No, but when I listen to myself talking, I think I sound like that guy at a police academy, you know, like,
You do sometimes.
I know. I can't listen.
Like you're on helium. Yeah. You might be drawing in more helium through your nostrils. More hydrogen, you know, more of the
making
elements.
Making my voice more high-pitched.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember.
Because you do go very camp at times as well.
I do go a bit camp.
That arty-farty thing, innit?
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Well, today, when you were on phone to me and you were picking your young'un up from school, and you turned into Dale Winton. Ooh!
I didn't say ooh. But that's true. I do sound slightly camp as well, I think.
Yeah. Camp and pissed. It's a good mix.
Yeah. But even if I'm not pissed or camp.
Anyway, on that note, we're going to go. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Of the oceans and skies.